الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درود شریف علیه وسلم تسلیما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to go and visit Baytullah Sharif, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba built by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, the first thing you will notice is the coverings of the Kaaba, the black cloth that is covering the four walls of the Kaaba. The black cloth is there, or any other form of material that is used, is there as a mark or a symbol of respect, to show respect to the Kaaba. That is the only reason why you have the covering to the walls of Kaaba. Muslim historians have said that the first man to cover the walls of Kaaba was Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. And after Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam, the covering of the Kaaba walls was done by the king of Yemen, Tubba, As'ad Tubba. He covered the four walls of Kaaba of a material that was something considered to be as leather. That is why it is said that later on, after a few days, he saw a dream, and perhaps in his dream a vision that came to him that leather was not the right material for the walls of Kaaba, and he changed it to this red striped Yemeni material. And that material, that cloth, that sheet of cloth, the covering that was there, was very, very expensive, and he specially made that so that it would fit the Kaaba all around completely, and that was very, very expensive. It was not in the power of an ordinary person, or even for that sake a wealthy man, to buy something like that. It is said that Yemen in those days was very, very famous for material, and that is why the Yemeni cloth was considered to be something very, very expensive. So a lot of credit goes to this great man. We frequently hear his name everywhere, King of Yemen, Tubba, As'ad Tubba, As'ad Tubba. After the period of As'ad Tubba, we go on to the time of Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance, the dark ages in Arabia, before the coming of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Juhul was so prevalent in the time that it is said that the mushrikeen of Makkah and those who wanted to do tawaf of the Kaaba would strip completely naked. They would take out all their clothes and circumambulate and would do tawaf of the Kaaba without their clothes. And their thinking was a bit different also. They would think that the clothes are polluted with the sins that they have done, so it would not be justified for them to wear those clothes and then do the tawaf I mean, here you look at the sincerity on one side, and then how they were, that they were prepared to take out all their clothes, and every one of them would do tawaf of the Kaaba in that manner, completely naked, until Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. In the time of Jahiliyyah, everyone had this freedom to buy and purchase material, whether that material was bought from Yemen, Egypt, or local, something that was cheap or expensive. Anybody could come and present that material as a gift to the Kaaba, and there was someone there who would make sure that that material is fixed onto the wall of Kaaba. Now, whether that material would cover one side of the wall, or two sides of the walls, or three sides of the wall, or four sides of the wall, that was entirely up to the individual and his own capacity. So, in the time of Jahiliyyah, the tartib, the method was that you would have layers upon layers, pile upon pile. So if there were about 100 people doing tawaf, and 20 of them came with some form of covering, a sheet, a material, cloth, so all the 20 sheets would be piled up on top of each other. This was the tartib. So anybody could come and do anything, whatever they wanted, until the burden of the material of the cloth, the covering, was such that it would be difficult for the walls of Kaaba to hold that burden. Only then the keepers of Kaaba would come and they would remove all the clothes and the material that is used. And what would happen is that it would be distributed as a form of barakat, given to people that were there, or it would be buried. This was the tartib in the time of Jahiliyyah. Later on, when the Qurayshi people had full authority of the Kaaba, what they said is that all the tribes made mashwira, and they said that this honor should only be given to us exclusively. We are the responsible ones to look after the Kaaba. So they decided that all the members, all the tribes would get together, and at the end of the year they would save one amount, dinar, dirham, whatever it was, and collectively with the amount of money that all the tribes would collect together, they would purchase a material expensive, perhaps a Yemeni cloth, and give that as a hadiyah to Kaaba, and it would cover the four walls of Kaaba. So this was the tartib. After the Jahiliyyah period, when the Qurayshi people had the full power, all the responsibility was with the Qurayshi tribes, and all of them collectively did this khidmah, that they would cover the four walls of Kaaba. Now there was one individual whose name was Hazrat Umar bin Makhzoom radiallahu ta'ala. He was a businessman. He would buy and sell goods, buy goods from Yemen, and Yemen was the main center at that time for him. It is said that when he went to Yemen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a lot of barakat. A lot of barakat. And subhanallah, just reading a kitab today, something that I've never heard before, Mufti Saab, Mufti Zarwali Khan of Pakistan, once said that there were a lot of watermelons there, and the Khadim was giving it to everyone. A lot of the students were there, and he said to Mufti Saab, he said, Mufti Saab, the watermelons are not sweet. Watermelons are not sweet. So now when you go to the fruit shop, and even if you ask them that, is this watermelon sweet, they say to you, bhai, ilm-e ghaib, nobody knows. Ilm-e ghaib, unless you belong to the opposite party, they seem to know everything. But ilm-e ghaib, only Allah knows. But what are the experience that they have? So anyway, Mufti Saab said that, well, why don't you make amal on one wazifa, which Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi would make amal on if a melon was given to him. And one verse, small ayat of the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَزَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Maulana Muhammad Lahir Saab, فَزَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يفعله. So Mufti Saab said that now give me the watermelon, and he took the knife. And now this is not something that is farz or wajib. This is just a wazifa. And he said, let us experience something new today. So he said, فَذَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And he said to the Khadim, now Khadim, you must cut it. And it is said that when after praying this wazifa, subhanAllah, after praying this wazifa, the watermelon was extremely, extremely sweet. Extremely sweet. Now this is, wallah, this is iman, this is aqidah, this is the power that you have inside you. That is why Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, when someone was ill, someone had any form of problem, headache or anything, they would just go and read Surah Al-Fatiha and blow it on him, and shifa was given. It was the ruh, pure ruh, spiritually connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa that is there. Hazrat Umar bin Makhzoom again was a businessman, and when he would go to Yemen, even with a little amount, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give him a lot. A lot. And one must remember that when you give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you. Allah will give you. Alhamdulillah, in the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have gifted people, quality people, that they shut their eyes and they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even without people knowing. Shut their eyes and they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have so much yaqeen that this is not only investment for the hereafter, but even in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return the goods or the profit of whatever it is, money or good health, in many, many folds. They have that yaqeen. Hazrat Umar bin Makhzoom radiallahu ta'ala was again a very sakhi. He would give a lot in the path of Allah, charity. So what he decided, he went to the Qurayshi people and a proposition was put forward to them, a meeting. And he said to the Qurayshi people, he said that, look, Allah has given me a lot of wealth. All of you, all the tribes get together and collectively this effort takes place. You buy a material, a cloth, a covering for the walls of Kaaba, and you cover all of you, your money put together. Let me just alleviate the burden. And he said that 1 year I am responsible for covering the four walls of Kaaba, and I will do it with my money, and the next year all of you can do it. So let us go with this tartib. So every year, the first year was the responsible man was Hazrat Umar bin Makhzoom, and the next year was the Qurayshi people, and then Umar bin Makhzoom, and then the Qurayshi people, Umar bin Makhzoom, and then the Qurayshi people. And he did this khidmat, this service, until death came to him. Allahu Akbar. And he said that the first lady to cover the four walls of Kaaba was the mother of Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And the name of Hazrat Abbas's mother is Nubayla bint Janab. Nubayla bint Janab. She is the first lady with her own money to contribute, and she covered the four walls of Kaaba. So this was in the time of Jahiliyyah, and then later on when Qurayshi people had power. Now going back to the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever covered the four walls of the Kaaba with any form of material, but only after one incident that had taken place. And that was again an accident that had taken place by one of the ladies who came to visit the house of Allah, and she was doing tawaf, and she had what we say, incense sticks, agarbatti. She came to perfume the cloth of Kaaba, and accidentally the material caught fire. So what had happened, that resulted that the entire black cloth was burning and it was of no use. Only then Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam took it as his responsibility to cover the four walls of Kaaba. And it is said that the cloth that Huzur alayhi salatu wasallam used was a Yemeni cloth, Yemeni material, which was again at that time quite expensive. And after Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een had also followed the Sunnah of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, all of them in their time used the qibati material. The qibati material was cloth material that came from Egypt. It is said that the one who really took a keen interest in making sure that the Ghilaf-e-Ka'bah was kept clean, and he would maintain everything, making sure all the duties are carried out properly, was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. That is why if you read some of the books, it will tell you that the first man to put on the ghilaf on the Kaaba was Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, because of his khidmat. It is said that he would change the covering of the Kaaba twice in a year. Twice. On the day of Ashura, a brocade material, and then at the end of Ramadan again the qibati material was used. This was the responsibility of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Now after the period of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een, coming back to our time, when the Ali Saud family took power, don't worry, I won't sympathize with them too much because just got naraz, but you know, we don't agree with their politics, of course. Never, ever, alhamdulillah. You know, only if they could speak out, and like what Bush does, you know, when anything happens in Israel, he's the first man out there condemning everything. So it would be nice if the royals, the royal family, Khadimul Haramain al-Sharifain, or a speaker would come out and condemn the atrocities and state terrorism that takes place there. But this is just the khidmat that we have to mention, because it's done in their time, so we understand the full history and the events that have taken place. When the Ali Saud family took power, King Faisal gave an order at that time that instead of the cloth coming to us from Egypt or Yemen, it should be made locally. And because of that, a factory specially for that was built on the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah, not very, very far away from the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And this materialized in the time of King Fahd. That is why at the time of inauguration, King Fahd was there. Now, they have the most modern machines there, most modern. And the material that is used today for the ghilaf of Kaaba is pure silk. Now silk is not jaiz for mardo ke liye jaiz, aurto ke liye jaiz. Remember that why silk is not jaiz for men is that it affects the sexual capacity of a man, silk. So by when it touches your skin, only in circumstances like when you go for jihad and the armor sometimes that is used, that is only on occasion. To make it a habit, the ulama say no, that it will make you weak. That is the effect of it. So silk is used, and from the outside it is dyed, the material in color is completely black, and from the inside it is completely white. They have modern machines there, and those machines that are kept there is only to make sure that the material is cut straight. Everything is even, so when it fits the walls of Kaaba, everything is completely straight. But there are 240 people working there all the time who are pious and who have this art, handicraft, with their hands. The hands are in use, making sure, writing all the verses of the Quran, the gold writing that you see, many, many verses of the Quran on the ghilaf of Kaaba. Especially there is an extra sort of covering near the door of Kaaba, and on that covering again a whole load of ayats and verses of the Quran or hadith, and mentioning of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, wa iz yarfa'u Ibrahimu al-kawa'ida min al-bayti wa Ismail. That ayat is written, inna awwala bayti mudi'a lin-nas. Even that ayat-i kareema is written. King Fahd's name is also written. King Fahd's name is also written. When I once went for Umrah, there was a young man sitting next to me, and he looked at me and he said to me, "Sheikh, you look like an alim, but you are wearing a black pagri. Why?" I said, "Why? Is it not jais for me to wear a black pagri?" He goes, "No, in Saudi Arabia the Shias wear it." I said, "So what if the Shias wear it? I'm a Sunni and wearing a black pagri. Abid is also wearing a black pagri, mashallah. Nothing wrong with it, Abid. Nothing wrong with it. No, not to worry." So he goes to me, "No, here in Saudi you should wear white. It would look better on you. Because here we feel that the Shias have their own symbol and they will wear a black amama." I said, "The Shias have a different face from the Sunnis. The Sunnis, alhamdulillah, their face and the Shia face is completely different." "There's no, there's a lot of bid'at in your culture, Indians and Pakistanis and you that come from the subcontinent. A lot of you do a lot of bid'at." As Maulana Dawood Sahib mentioned today, that it has become a fashion today. Your kurtas that you wear, no long sleeves, short sleeves. And you say, "Allahu Akbar," short sleeves. And the covering of the head also, topi, which Maulana Dawood Sahib mentioned today, which is also important, because all the great scholars, Awliyaullah, Sulaha, have always worn a topi. And it is mentioned in the hadith of Bukhari, Sahaba Ikiram Ajmain, Qalam Suwa means topi. And also the Amama, Al-Amaim Al-Qalam Suwa, that the Amama is worn on the topi. So that is why it is not jais for anyone just to wear or tie an Amama just like that on the head. There should be a topi. This is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I said to him, "Look, this is not a bid'ah. Bid'ah is what is your government, what you have done and written on the walls of Kaaba with the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and with the name of the prophets, and with the ayats of the Quran. You have even written the name of the king on the wall of Kaaba. This is bid'ah, this is haram, this is shirk." So he goes to me, "Well, I've never read it." I says, "Come, stand." I took him there, I said to him, "Read now," and he read it. Waqiya wahadik. That is, Allahu Akbar, a tragedy. And if any doors, I always say that, if you wanted to name the gates of the Kaaba entry, the main entry, you should have done it on the names of Khulafai Rashidin. Babu Abu Bakr Siddiq, Babu Umar, Babu Osman, Babu Ali, Babu Muawiyah, Babu Aisha. Beautiful names. 124,000 companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone had the authority, it was the Khulafai Rashidin. So simplicity and being humble is part of Islam and part of Deen. This again, a brief history. Pure silk material is used. It is even said that the cloth that they put on top of the rosa of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, which is changed occasionally, even that material is made in that factory. And it is even said that the Saudi flags are made in that factory. The Saudi flags are also made in that factory. And this is a fact. Allahu A'lam. Another name that you frequently hear is the word mataf. Meem, toy, alif, fa. Mataf comes out from the word tawaf. And the root word is also mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. And we took an oath from Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, أَنْ طَهِرَا, that they should make sure that they keep the house of Allah clean, completely clean. بَيْتِيَا, the house of Allah, لِلطَّائِفِينَ, those who do tawaf, وَالْعَاكِفِينَ, and those who do atikaf, وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ, and those who perform salat, who are in ruku and who are in sujood. So it was the duty of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. And alhamdulillah, that duty has been carried out properly until today. Mataf is completely clean all the time, even in the month of Ramadan. Even when you have hundreds of people doing the tawaf, you will see those who are experienced in cleaning the mataf, they making sure that every part of that area is clean, because that is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mataf is that immediate open space that is around the block, around the four walls of Kaaba. The first man to make sure that the mataf was suitable for people to do tawaf and made sure that the surface was even was Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. And obviously after the time of Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an, great expansion, extension, a lot of people come. Now it's easier for anyone to go and visit the house of Allah. Before it was difficult. Today within 14 hours, if you're at Heathrow, within 14 hours you could be in Haram Sharif doing the tawaf of the Kaaba. Not difficult at all. So you have a lot of people there. So now the mataf has expanded. In fact, from Baytullah Sharif, it is said that it is as wide as from all around, more than 80 to 90 meters. 80 to 90 meters. All the way until you come to the old block that was built by the Turkish people that are there. The building structure that you see, you will notice that this is from the Ottoman Empire. This is a brief history of the mataf. The Saudi government have even taken out the well, the original well that was there in the area where we do tawaf. And now the section of well is underground. In Urdu it is known as tehkhana, in the cellar. We have the male section and the women's section. And if you go down, you can just see the pump that is there that takes out the water, and you have a row of basins there. A lot of people want to perform their salat there because it's extremely cool. And now I've heard that they have even sealed that part. Those who have come back recently have said that even that part has been blocked. Wallahu alam, Allah knows what they are doing. Perhaps to make sure that the mataf is an open area for all the people to do tawaf. There is no inconvenience. So when people do tawaf, you have like that area which goes down towards the area of Zamzam. There is a block there, a wall. So when you are doing tawaf, there's a lot of pressure on one side. So they want to flatten all that, making sure that everybody can do tawaf of the Kaaba easily. Wallahu alam. And not to forget the marble tile that is used for the mataf. It's quite unique. It is said that no matter how hot it is, it will always remain cool. So even when you're doing tawaf at Zuhr time and it's extremely hot, you might need an umbrella to cover your head from the sun, but to do tawaf bare feet, it is completely possible. It is completely cool. So you have special tiles there. This is the khidmat that comes from the Ali Saud family. After the mataf, we come to the mountain of Safa, which is in the hudud of... Shall we stop here? Or? Inshallah, what we do is we stop here. Because... Shuru kare? Inshallah, okay? Kitne minute away? Karam? We come to Maqam-e Safa. Now, this mountain of Safa is approximately 130 meters away from the Kaaba. From the Kaaba. And Maqam-e Safa is a very important blessed mountain. Not only did Hazrat Hajar alayhi salatu was salam had stood on that mountain to run from Safa to Marwa, but it is said that Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has sat on that mountain. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood on that mountain. In fact, the very first invitation to the kuffar, when this ayat-e kareema was revealed to Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, invite towards Islam your close family members. Your close family members. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam making amal, fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he did is that he climbed the mountain of Safa, stood on it, and he made an alan. He said, O tribe of Quraysh, O tribe of Fahr, O tribe of Adnan, every one of you come here, come here. And this was completely new for the Arabs at that time. They respected Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly. And he, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is standing on the maqam of Safa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the name of Safa and Marwa in the Quran. Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. That the mountain of Safa and the mountain of Marwa are both great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the mountain of Safa, and this first invitation to Islam was whilst Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the mountain of Safa. And subhanallah, how Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam invited them, reminding them first of that love they had for him, the trust they had for him. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that, you know me and I know you. If I was to say to you that there is this massive great army pitched up on the outskirts of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now the city of Makkah was inside and it was covered by mountains. So behind the mountains, there is this great army, enemy of yours, that have come and they want to launch a powerful attack on your city. أَكُنْتُمْ تُصَدِّقُنِي Then would you believe me? And from all the leaders of the Arabs that were there, elite people were standing there. Because this is the first time in history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, Anzir, Ashirataka al-Akrabin. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the mountain of Safa. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, would you believe me if I said that enemies are there waiting for you? And every single one of them with one voice said, Na'am ya Muhammad. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would believe everything what you say, though we have not seen it with our eyes. Though it seems very difficult that an army would come now and would want to launch an attack on us. But if you say it, because you are sadiqul ameen, truthful, most trustworthy, we will believe whatever you say. Then Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them that, if you believe me so much, if you trust me so much, then inni nazirun lakum, then I am a nabi, a warner to you, bayna yaday azabin shadeed, that if you don't come towards the true path, which is tawheed, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop your shirk, don't worship the idols, don't worship the stones, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise there is this great punishment in front of you. Now the attitude of all the people changed. Koi aadmi gareeb hota hai na, so subhanallah, koi usko dekhta hi nahi. Again, now when he becomes rich, assalamu alaikum. They are doing salam to his bank balance. What are they doing salam? They are not doing salam to him, but they are doing salam to his bank balance. Assalamu alaikum. Ab woh ek zamane mein gareeb tha bichara, when he was poor, when nobody knew him or whatsoever, Allahu Akbar, nobody would greet him. But the minute, afsos, it is shameful that today, Allahu Akbar, in some cases, Muslims have better akhlaq, kuffar have better akhlaq than the Muslims there, out there. Muslims cannot see Muslim brothers going forward. Of course, Allahu Akbar. How is this sickness of hasad that is inside us? خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينَ This is what the shaitan said. And Abu Lahab was there. Imagine Abu Lahab. He is the first man to stand up to answer what Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam said. And what harsh words. And Abu Lahab in relation to Huzur alayhi salam is his real uncle, saga, kaka, chacha. It is said that when Nabuwat was given to Huzur alayhi salam, only four uncles of Huzur alayhi salam were alive. Hazrat Hamza, Hazrat Abbas, Abu Talib and Abu Lahab. And look at the taqseem of Allah. Two were Muslims and two were non-Muslims. The father of Hazrat Ali was non-Muslim, Abu Talib. But Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Abbas were Muslims. Abu Lahab was a handsome man. He was so handsome, white-skinned. The skin was red. all the time, very tall, very powerful, that if they saw him, people would want to look at him again. His name was Abdul Uzza. But the nickname, the title that was given to him was Abu Lahab, the one who had the face of flames. Face of flames. Aag ka angara, goya shola. Bahut khubsurat, very handsome. White and red, white and red. He was an elite man of the Qurayshi people at that time. And the first words that he said to Huzur alayhi salam, Al-Iyazu billah, he said, Tabban laka ya Muhammad, Al-Iyazu billah. Alihada jama'atana. Now the word tabba in the Arabic language is a word when you want to curse someone. Halakat ho, tumhara nas ho, tumhara bula bara ho, toot jao, tumhare liye kharabi ho. Calamity comes to you. May you be perished, destroyed, killed. This is the meaning of tabba. And he said, tabban laka ya Muhammad. May you be perished. Al-Iyazu billah. Alihada jama'atana. Is this why you have gathered all of us here today? So that we listen to you, the message of Tawheed, that we believe in you. You're standing on the mountain of Safa and preaching to us that worship one Allah and forget Lat and Uzza, and my name is Abdul Uzza. I am Abu Lahab. And you are my nephew. And you speak to the elite people of Quraysh like this. Alihada jama'atana. Allahu Akbar. And straight away, the surah that was read in Maghrib Salat, Ayat Kareema, was revealed using that same word which Abu Lahab used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. May the hands of Abu Lahab be destroyed. May he be killed. Watabba, perished, destroyed. Watabba, completely. Allama Qastalani rahmatullah alayhi in his Sharah of Bukhari says that Allah has made the mentioning of his two hands. Specifically, why? Because on one occasion, he picked up stones with both of his hands and threw it at Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is why Allah takes the name of Yada. In the Arabic language, Tabbat, and then Yada. Yada means two hands. Because of Izafat, the noon falls. And it is Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab. And the name of Abu Lahab comes. We have only 1 minute to Azan, inshaAllah ta'ala. We will continue with the significance of Mountain of Safa and Marwa, inshaAllah, in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mulana Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna minal zalimin. Allahumma inna nasaluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhira. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.